You know, we've covered a lot of the writings of the elite. And one thing that I did many, many years ago, back before I had covered many more that I've covered since then, was a 10 commandments of the Luciferian elite. Yes. What about the idea that helping us to understand their program through their own weird inverted version of the 10 commandments? So today's discussion, we're going to kind of walk through dozens of these texts and look at what's the common 10-point program, the evil inverted Luciferian 10 commandments that the global elite actually have that they're all united upon. When we look back through 100 years of their writings or so, we find out there is a continuity of agenda, a continuity of plan over those decades, over that century, amongst these texts. And it kind of functions as a 10 points that you can't disagree with. There might be debates amongst the elite at the Bilderberg Group, at the steering committee meetings. There might be discussions and arguments and different little mini factions vying for power and this and that. But for the long-term goal, for the long-term plan, what are the 10 agreement points, the 10 commandments, the dogmas of the elite that you may not question, you may not doubt? And I put together what I think are about 10 key points across dozens of texts that are undisputed. They're in every book, right? Every text discusses these. So we're going to go through these point by point, and I'm going to pull out some of the main texts and show you. But I'm not making this up. It's all there. It's all public and has been for a long time.
Well, here we are in the year 2022, and InfoWars is now more important than it's ever been. We are truly in the zeitgeist. I want to thank you all for keeping us on the air, and I want to encourage you to take advantage of a true win-win situation, or a 360 win, as I've called it, at InfoWarsStore.com. Get high-quality supplements that make your body healthier, make you happier, and that defend your body with your immune system against outside attackers. Ladies and gentlemen, multivitamins are the way to go, but so many of them are synthetic. Our multivitamin whole food system is one of the best quality multivitamin systems you're going to find. But regardless of whether you get it from us or somebody else, research that it's a whole food multivitamin and get it for you and your family, especially old folks, children. Everybody needs it, but especially old folks. Also, we have vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. It's also back in stock. It's at 40% off. Both these are available at InfoWarsStore.com, and BrainForce Plus is back in stock as well at 40% off.
First global commandment of the elite is, what's one of the dogmas, the creed of the Luciferian elite, not the Nicene creed, the Luciferian elite. Number one is a global government. Yes, for the last 100 years, the global elite have openly advocated for and planned for a global government on models somewhat on the ashes of the British Empire. So the old British imperial model, which was at one point called, I think, Lord Lionel Curtis, one of the global elites, he wrote a book called The Commonwealth of God. The idea here being that this commonwealth, you have to excuse me, I've had a flu for the last week, so I'm just getting over that. But the idea was that we could have this commonwealth of God. I don't know what God he's talking about. Probably not the God of the Bible, right? Some other kind of God, the Luciferian God. And this commonwealth would be one which would take the ideas of liberal democracy as a cloak or as a cover. And there's a famous book that discusses this, written by none other than Dr. Carol Quigley. Not his Big Fat Tragedy and Hope that we've covered for many years, but his other book that's equally as important that goes into the history of Chatham House and Pratt House and the Rothschild Rhodes Milner Network of the Royal Institute for International Affairs, The Anglo-American Establishment. In The Anglo-American Establishment, we have what is kind of the superstructure of how this conspiracy worked 100 years ago. Now, things are a little different nowadays. We're not totally identical to this old British imperial model. It's morphed into the Pax Americana, but this is the network that essentially reintegrated the United States into the Anglo-American establishment to create that Western power block, which is right now what is essentially the New World Order. And Quigley gives us a structure that is, at the top you had a Rhodes, Rothschild, Milner elite. And this is called the Society of the Elect. And this was a secret society that Cecil Rhodes had kind of cooked up. to be kind of modeled on something like Freemasonry and the Jesuits. Now, I'm not saying that it's a Jesuit and Masonic conspiracy in this sense. This is above that, right? These are people above the pay grade of those people who wanted to use the strategies and techniques and structure of that conspiracy, which is a pyramidal model, for the inner party, outer party structure of their society. And so there were a few people at the top, the Society of the Elect, some 12, 15, 20 people, and included Lord, the Astors, Lord Curtis, Lord Balfour, a lot of these lords, Earl Grey, Cecil Rhodes, Lord Rothschild, Alfred Milner, William Stead. And then underneath them was an association of helpers. And then underneath them was the outer circle. So you see, it was concentric circles. And these concentric circles had need to know compartmentalized information. And Quigley goes into this book discussing how they had basically taken over where they wanted to steer the British Empire. And then it, by extension, the Anglo-American empire and establishment. So that's the superstructure. You want to know who the real, quote, Illuminati is, the real specter. That's it right there publicly in Quigley's book. And of course, Quigley's other book discusses the American branch of this. That's what Tragedy and Hope is about, is it's a kind of a large apologetic treatise giving an account for why the CFR, why the Rockefeller power structure in the U.S., which is allied with this British elite power structure in the U.K., how this superstructure wanted to reorganize the world into a global government. It's very clear, very public, no doubt about it. And that's just one key example of who was running the show 100 years ago and what they had planned. And it was to set up a global government. So that's rule number one, 10 commandment number one, thou shalt have no other entities or beliefs or governments or systems or allegiances other than Hail Hydra, Hail Spectre, Hail Spectre. Now, what about other texts that align with this, that show us the same idea? Well, you probably heard me mention before, David Rockefeller wrote a famous, gigantic book called Memoirs. And this is his whole autobiography of all the exploits and things that he did and how he went and did all these things in China when China was a communist country and how he set up the first Chase Bank in communist China and blah, 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 blah. And then you probably heard of this, but there's a famous chapter towards the middle of the book called Proud Internationalist. And Proud Internationalist is the chapter where he says that my whole family, we were always dedicated to setting up a global government. I'm proud of that. And if people want to call it a conspiracy, I don't really care. It's not a conspiracy because it's open. It's the open conspiracy. And he says that when you look at entities like the Council on Foreign Relations, when you look at entities like the Bilderberg Group, he says these are all part of the network that we set up. Indeed, his family donated the land for the United Nations. And so everything that you're seeing come out of this, these networks, these global trilateral commission style networks, these steering committees, these groups, this is the Eastern Seaboard elites branch of the same thing going on with what Quigley's talking about in the Anglo-American establishment. And it's all there in those two books. So we can see right away that there's clearly a call for an international global government run by this same power structure. Another text that we covered last time that talks about this was the H.G. Wells text that you heard me doing all my rants about. It was the New World Order, right? In fact, H.G. Wells was a propagandist for this same power structure, right? He was working as a propagandist at the behest of this exact same elite, in this case in the UK, the UK branch of this superstructure that I was telling you about. And he was also very open about this. This is not a conspiracy theory. It's the what? Open conspiracy. So when people try to understand geopolitics, to try to understand how the world really works, how are you going to do it if you don't know about this 100-plus year plan that is right now being enacted in front of us? If you've not read these books, you wouldn't know that, right? And by the way, people that go and study international relations, they don't read these books. They don't read David Rockefeller's memoirs. They don't read Carol Quigley. They read whatever they're told to read by their sanitized, compartmentalized professors. So here you have, again, people at, sort of in the outer sphere. H.G. Wells would be one of the helpers of this elite, right? He's not at the top of the pyramid. He's one of the helpers that would be committed to this number one commandment here, the necessity to bring in a global government. And you'll notice that at this level, the allegiances transcend national boundaries or ideologies. Now, there's some ideologies, that's what we're doing here in the 10 points, but the allegiance here, the ideology here, is nothing parochial, nothing provincial, nothing religious, except ultimately there is a kind of religion here, which we'll see in a little bit. But no, it's number one, you have to be committed to a global government. And so when we come back, we'll look at some more examples. What are the other nine commandments here at the Alex Jones Show? Don't go anywhere. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're talking about the 10 commandments of the global elite, how to accurately and in a helpful way, characterize the overall dogmas, the 10 commandments that if you're a member of this nefarious clique, you cannot question. What you must be in agreement with in the number two 10 commandment of the elite is global medicine. There needs to be a global medical apparatus by which everybody's biosecurity can be controlled, determined, and even hacked. And you could go back to writings like Julian Huxley of the Huxley family. He wrote The Philosophy of UNESCO. This is the essay that really sets forth the whole attitude of what this body, this cultural wrecking ball of the United Nations, this arm of the elite here, its purpose and its philosophy, he says, is ultimately to kind of recast the bad propaganda light that eugenics got as a result of World War II. Since we can't really use that word anymore, we'll move on to other ideas like biometrics, right? Biosecurity, ultimately, which we just saw in the document that we did on human augmentation last week. Now we're going to have a new approach to recasting eugenics as a kind of technocratic global health situation. So now it's your genome. You're really this this virus machine, right? And that's what we've seen in the last couple of years. And that idea really goes back to what Huxley's talking about here in rebranding eugenics into and racial hygiene into a biometrics biosecurity state. That's also something that one of the global elite wrote in his books a long time ago that we talked about, Friedrich Capra and Turning Point. He had multiple chapters in here discussing about how the medical system would really be the angle through which the global elite would bring this world order in, because it's another way, if you think about, you know, the first global revolution, which is one of these documents that the elite put out from the Club of Rome, talking about pollution. Right. We'll invent and use this idea of pollution as the way to steer and change and alter human society's attitudes towards itself. The same idea comes up in Capra, that now you begin to see that it's health that is the key fear factor here. If we can make health all about fear, make everybody into hypochondriacs, basically, then we'll have a key way to bring in this new world order through global medicine. And remember, what did we just see in that human augmentation document? What did it say? It said that in the future, we're already here, basically, but in the future, by 2030, 2050, you'll have the idea of health will be subsumed under biosecurity. And that's another way to get rid of individual rights and medical freedom, because now, we just don't understand it that way anymore, because you're part of a collective, right? You don't have a right to your own health, because your health is now a potential bioweapon. I'm not joking, right? So you want to understand a big part of what's going on right now with the last 2 years of stuff with the CUFID and the stabbies. It's part of that. It's making human health part of biosecurity, ultimately subsuming it. And as the human augmentation document says, we'll have to just alter everyone's ethic to understand that that's the old way of thinking. Everything has evolved and mutated now, and we're all just, you know, we're all toxic Avenger now. We're all just mutants, and we just can't have mutants running around mutating everywhere. You're a danger. You're a potential risk. What do the NATO cognitive warfare documents say? Remember that one? It said, well, you might actually be an enemy combatant without even knowing it. So if you've been exposed to things on the internet, You're a potential enemy combatant by which the establishment must target you with disinformation and psyops and psychological warfare. So global medicine and its subsumed under things like big pharma was a key element, a key angle in this medical tyranny to be brought in as one of the 10 commandments of the global elite. And they all discuss this, by the way. 10 commandment number 3, what's one of the key commandments, the dogmas that you cannot question if you want to join this nefarious elite? Key commandment number 3 would be the necessity for a global economy and a global currency and an end to individual enterprise and trade. Now, you may say, well, wait a minute, why would they want that? Because don't the elite, aren't they neoliberal free market proponents? They were for a time period. And once that built this giant engine, this big superstructure of a global economy, that's when it needs to flip over into the lockdown phase. So yes, in a sense, there was a long time period from, you know, Adam Smith on up to where we had this at least somewhat of an open market and somewhat of a freedom-based approach, a laissez-faire-based approach, at least in principle and theory, to economics. And that allowed for the interlocking global order that we now have. But as H.G. Wells says, and this is something a lot of people have overlooked, they've missed this, and it comes up in one of his other texts that I haven't covered here on Alex's audience yet, but I've covered it on other talks that I've done. And that's in the book Open Conspiracy. He talks about how the world government is really something beyond the libertarian versus communist dialectic. And it's not that libertarianism and the people involved in that were all bad, and it's not that people who are opposed to it are all necessarily good or bad, but rather that these are two systems built on materialism. They're both systems that come out of and presuppose enlightenment materialism. And so the danger here is that the power that you have within a libertarian laissez-faire market is that it can construct these superstructures, something like big tech, that then can be turned into a means by which to enslave. And H.G. Wells, although I completely disagree with him, he was, in terms of his philosophy, his worldview, he was insightful enough to understand, and he actually rebuked the Marxists of his day, to say that, don't you idiots understand that it's global capitalism that will build the superstructure that we will take over to then bring in the New World Order, the technocracy. That's what he says. He says, don't worry so much about defeating the capitalists. Just let them build the superstructure, and then we will just simply utilize the technocratic order from within. Exactly. I mean, why do you think, again, the wealthiest people on the planet support Marxism, socialism, fascism, and these control structures? Is precisely for the very things I'm telling you, because there is a plan. It's the same plan. Klaus says the exact same things H.G. Wells says 100 years ago. You'll own nothing, you'll have nothing, you'll be happy. That's just basic bitch communism. That's what H.G. Wells said 100 years ago, right? But you said, but they're not communists. How could it be? Because the wealthiest people on the planet support communism. Just get that through your head, okay? So the global currency is absolutely necessary. And this is another thing that we've seen in the writings like Bertrand Russell, Bertrand Russell's books, right? He says that there'll be a global credit score. He said this 100 years ago, back at the time of H.G. Wells and his writings. He says that you'll get a dole. You'll be on the global dole, right? Mark Zuckerberg will have you on the dole. All you're going to do is swipe your EBT. It's going to be great. Everything's free. It's going to be it's going to be UBI. That's my Mark Zuckerberg. And he's just saying exactly what Bertrand Russell said 100 years ago in The Impact of Science on Society and in The Scientific Outlook, that as the technocracy comes about, the world government, he says there will be a global economy that will restrict and prevent anyone from doing their own trade and their own economy. It'll be a global economy.
Experience the next level in high-powered energy nootropics with our latest BrainForce offering, BrainForce Ultra. Now it is easier than ever to take in the new liquid form with 8 beneficial super ingredients. BrainForce Ultra is the result of years of enhanced formulation. free of toxic additives, each ingredient is specifically selected for its many key properties. Some of the proprietary super ingredients behind BrainForce Ultra include guarana seed, which is loaded with energy compounds and antioxidants that have been used by Amazonian tribes for centuries. Alpha GPC, a natural compound found in the brain that delivers an essential nutrient, choline. And ginkgo leaf, which is also known for its exceptional antioxidant content. This product is more than twice the servings of our BrainForce Plus as well, so you know it's packed full of the good stuff. Destroy that brain fog today and secure your bottle of BrainForce Ultra before it is completely sold out at InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're covering the Ten Commandments of the Global Elite, and we were just talking about the global currency, the idea of a completely controlled, tracked, and traced economy, which we had seen was spoken of back in the 20s and 30s by Bertrand Russell, was identical to the very things that 100 years later, right, we see in Clauss's 2018 book, Shaping of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, where he talks about a completely tracked and traced and carbon allotment-based economy, which essentially shuts down production, shuts down growth. And that's because this is an austerity-based model, and that's the whole point of controlling the economy, controlling the flow of energy, because that's about reducing the population. Energy control, the energy sector, the climate control, the climate lockdowns, all that is just another way to reduce population massively by 2030 to 2050. So what's the fifth global commandment after there? Excuse me, the fourth. The global brain, the global Skynet, the interlinked human Borg operation where everybody is part of this giant hive mind. Where have we seen that? Well, we've actually seen that in many of these elite. Of course, everybody knows about Ray Kurzweil, right? Ray Kurzweil wrote The Singularity is Near, as well as The Age of Spiritual Machines, promoting transhumanism many years ago. And then, you know, as we've covered here, as Alex has covered for at least 20 years, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us by Bill Joy, who went to one of these meetings of the Silicon Valley elite where they discussed the creation of this post-human global brain order, and that not everybody would be allowed into that future. A lot of people have been gotten rid of. A lot of people got to be deleted. And so this Why the Future Doesn't Need Us text from the year 2000 by Bill Joy is really, again, in perfect harmony with what Klaus writes about 18, 20 years later in the Fourth Industrial Revolution, saying the exact same things. And this whole idea of using brain chips, integrating everybody into a global brain, is something that other elites have written about many years ago. In 2006, Jacques Attali, the Kissinger of France, he wrote Brief History of the Future. And in this text, Jacques Attali says, all of humanity will be integrated into what he calls a golem brain hive mind. He says the transhumanists are the vanguard of this new world order. And really what they're preparing everybody for is the integration into this global brain. This will be affected eventually by a global Skynet. Basically, he says that everybody will be a part of this, and you won't be able to opt out, because if you're alive by then, it will be mandated. Remember, what did the UK Ministry of Defense document that we just read, the human augmentation document, say? It said it will be mandated. Governments will mandate it, and they will have to just update their notion of ethics. Ethics will get a revision by just pointing out that, well, everything evolves. Ethics evolve. So just tell the experts to tell everybody that the ethics have evolved, and all the sheeple will believe it. Remember, that's what this document says. Human augmentation, dawn of a new paradigm. Governments will mandate the microchipping or nanochipping of the population. It doesn't have to be a microchip. It doesn't have to be RFID. It can be something beyond that. And yeah, exactly. That's where this gets over into more of a religious commitment on the part of some of these people to a Luciferian idea of transhumanism. But as you can see, multiple people, even back to the 40s and 50s, you had Isaac Asimov talking about the global brain. You had people like Philip K. Dick writing science fiction because he was in the circles of the people in Silicon Valley about this global brain being linked into this matrix hive mind. And that, of course, can overlap with the ideas of the metaverse. Number five, what's the next global elite commandment that you must believe in, you must submit to, you must be a part of? Well, in my list, I included the idea of a global religion. part of this superstructure here is the not just the rewrite of everybody's biology, but every aspect of human society, the human domain, must be taken over and given a new overlay. And that includes religion. And really what's needed is a religion that's amenable to the elite themselves, something that might in a subtle way promote transhumanism, promote the depop, promote the stabbies, promote the mRNA experimentation. All of these types of things need to be in a subtle way promoted through the new global religion. And when we go into works that have chronicled these same elite families, we know that one of the families that comes to the fore in this is the Rockefellers themselves. In their authorized biography, there's multiple chapters where the Rockefellers essentially created the ecumenist movement. They put the money, the engine, and the power into ecumenism to turn it into something that could be marshaled into a basically making religion into a form of an NGO. How can we take the world religions and turn them into just basically evangelists for the New World Order? Well, this is how, right? And this is what they did. And many other books have been written about it. I mean, this even comes up in Brzezinski, right? Brzezinski's Between Two Ages. He's got chapters in the beginning where he talks about using Roman Catholicism, using the church, using other religions as well as part of this global superstructure. And unfortunately, during the Cold War, a big part of the co-opting of superstructures like the Roman Catholic religion, as David Wim Hof notes in his book, John Courtney Murray, Time, Life, and the American Proposition, this is where the CIA and the Jesuits have played a key role in co-opting, in large part, the Roman Catholic infrastructure and superstructure to become an engine of Americanism under the guise of fighting the Soviets in the Cold War. Now, again, understand that I'm trying to be nuanced here. That doesn't mean the Soviets are the good guys. But the overemphasis on that, the power play of the Soviet Union is what allowed Reagan, the moral majority, a lot of these faux right wingers during these Cold Warriors to co-opt a lot of the American religious institutions into fighting on the side of the CIA and then becoming basically subservient to their new masters, the CIA. So again, it's not a good guy, bad guy. It's a power structure. It's power dynamics. That's all I'm saying. And so what happens is that you get the co-opting of the religion to turn it into an engine of the state. And that's the problem here is that it might have seemed good to a lot of people during the Cold War. Well, shouldn't we fight the atheistic Soviet Empire? Okay. But then what happens is that now you're under this superstructure that is just as atheistic, just as globalist, and just as committed to its version of a technocratic world order as the Soviets might have been. So the false dialectic of the Cold War was also another way to get the religions onto the side of Western technocracy under the Anglo-American establishment. And if you want to understand that the collapse of the religions in America in the 20th century, you need to look no further than this. The Rockefellers bought off all the Protestant seminaries and churches. They poured millions and millions of dollars into the Protestant seminaries and churches through their entities like the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches. They created and funded and fostered this ecumenist movement, which has now given way to the erection of that. We're in the beta stages of this emerging global religion of, as you saw earlier, the Abrahamic faith house, where Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, oh, they're actually all part of a giant perennialist super religion. That's exactly the very thing that the Rockefellers had put millions and millions of dollars into 100 years ago to getting this off the ground. They even built their own cathedral committed to a global new religion, Riverside Church. So this global religion has to promote point number 6 in the Ten Commandments, Malthusianism or depopulation. Now, again, we saw that rebranded. That's a mean term. We can't use those mean terms anymore out of World War II. Now we got to use words like biosecurity, health, biometrics. That's all rebranding of dysgenics and eugenics and depopulation, radical Malthusianism, down to the point of 90 to 95% or all of the planet being removed in terms of humans. Let's get rid of all the humans. Okay, that's point number six. I don't think I should have to go into that. I mean, this one is so well known that it's literally in every global elite book. I mean, you couldn't find a single global elite writer who denies the necessity of mass depopulation. Great example of this is The Next Million Years by Charles Galton Darwin, a radical Malthusian in the same circles as Wells and Russell, who says we got to kill everybody. We were talking about the 10 commandments of the global elite, and we had gotten to number six, the Malthusian idea that we must with the radical idea that we must kill off most of the population of the earth in order to save the planet. And we've done multiple examples of the father of inoculations himself, for example, right? Jonas Salk wrote The Survival of the Wisest, where he posits that inoculation would be a key way to experiment on the population and perhaps drastically reduce the population in the future. So you can make of that what you will. I think it's pretty obvious what's going on there. And that's not unique to him. Obviously, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Population Council, that's all State Department Memorandum 200, right? All of that comes out of this same superstructure, which believes in, just like the philosophy UNESCO said, getting rid of most people on the earth. And connected to that commandment number six is the seventh commandment, which is transhumanism or posthumanism, the idea that the future is not for everyone, but in the next million years, a million years, like anybody knows what's happening in a million years, right? The arrogance of these people, like Charles Galton Darwin said, the future will be for the elite alone, and they will evolve into be God beings. Okay, this is where it starts to get religious, and you can see why I called it the Ten Commandments of the Elite. Just like Ray Kurzweil, right, the singularity. Oh, you see, the elite will evolve into these Übermensch, these Nietzschean Übermensch, the overmen, through the secrets that we learn through DARPA, right? DARPA, the Advanced Research Projects Agency, which gives us really the internet, the ARPANET, which becomes DARPANET, which becomes internet. If you read, mainline histories by people like Annie Jacobson into the Pentagon's brain, you'll find out that really this was about transhumanism. It was always about figuring out how to fix man and fix nature. And when you understand that mad scientist kind of attitude towards not just man, but the entire biosphere, you can see why they would do the things they've been doing. You can see why they would say we need synthetic biology to rewrite humanity. We need to fix man. Man is the problem from their view. But it's not man as the problem in a kind of a metaphysical, religious, or ethical view. It's man as the problem in a physico-chemical view. Man is just a bag of molecules. And so the way that you fix a bag of molecules is by throwing more chemicals at it. Hence the idea, as Kurzweil has, that you can just tweak the machine to fix the machine, and man can become this immortal machine. All of which is clearly a delusion and based on all kinds of philosophical assumptions. But these people don't care about philosophy. It's all about scientism. And so again, you can go from the history of science fiction writers 100 years ago to what Klaus is saying nowadays. And he's literally saying the last third of this book is about the integrating humans into Skynet, using the CRISPR gene technology to rewrite the human genome to fix it, supposedly. But this fixing it really just means integrating everybody into the global brain while the global elite themselves supposedly become gods. I'm not joking. So that's the belief that they have. That's their attitude. And it's a Luciferian religious kind of attitude. And that's why it's sometimes referred to as post-humanism. That's what we saw the British Minister of Defense Human Augmentation document talked about altering humans to be part of the global brain. And that ultimately this will be mandated, and that this global machine, the Borg, basically the hive, right? If you've watched Star Trek, you know about the Borg. This will be post-human, and the rest of humanity will be gotten rid of. And so it's a synthetic replacement, a silicon-based replacement of human beings and human biology with this new order. And that comes up even decades ago in Brzezinski's books. It's in Jacques Attali. It's in all of these people's writings. Arthur Kessler, Ghost in the Machine as well. And that leads to number eight. One of the key ways that they would get this through would be education. We need global education. Education can't be had by families. You can't have homeschooling. You can't have Christian schools. You can't have any of this kind of stuff. You can't have religious education that isn't subservient to not just the state, but the super state. And they succeeded in co-opting and basically controlling American education long ago. Long ago. In fact, the very origins of American public education was all founded by socialists. William James, John Dewey, Horace Mann, all of those guys were avowed, and they actually spoke of public education as a form of social of utopian socialism. And their idea was that no longer should education be about teaching individuals to think, to learn, to become critical thinkers on their own. Education would have to be commandeered into a UNESCO-style socializing operation. And this was, again, this is not, the liberals didn't just take over education 20 years ago, 30 years ago. This is 100 years ago. The founders of public education said the purpose of public education is not education. It's not reading, writing, and arithmetic. It is socialization. They all wrote books about it. Mann, Dewey, all of them. The founder of kindergarten said that kindergarten is a Pentecost to bring in a new world order. I'm not joking. And all kindergarten was another way to have the state running and managing your kids from the earliest days. Now, the answer is not, it's not the state. It's the private owned state. This is where the libertarians can't figure this out. When you hear the state, that's the corporate owned state. That's the Rockefeller bought off state many, many hundred years ago. So the answer is not just libertarianism, okay? David Rockefeller is a libertarian. He studied under von Hayek. He wrote his thesis under von Hayek. Global education would be the key by which you could bring in this global order by every generation of youth getting a more radical update in their education. And that's been going on for 100 years, right? Every generation that's younger and younger and younger that comes onto the scene has a more radical education. And now when you look at education today, you're just seeing the latest instantiation of the perpetual revolution to change the mind of the youth so that they grow up into being global citizens. So education was crucial to this plan, and they succeeded in doing that long before even Reagan and, you know, Charlotte Isherwood's works. Okay. I'm not saying that she's wrong. She's right. Right. If you read Charlotte Isherwood's works about the subversion of the American education system, even back in the 80s, it was way longer than that, earlier than that. Number nine, the ninth commandment of the global elite, end the family. Every elite writer, every globalist says the family must go. Why? Well, the family instills elements of nature into the child's relationship to society and to structures and to order. So a mother and a father, the mother archetype, the father archetype, instill into the child attitudes and normativity towards their own future and their own biological reproductive potentialities. If you destroy the family, what happens is that you don't get rid of the archetypes of mother and father. The archetypes are replaced by the state, the nanny state, big brother. They take the role of mom and dad and become the providers. They become the new archetypal control structure. And that's exactly why Orwell was so prescient to make big brother, big brother, and why there's the nanny state. Those are archetypes, right, of man and female, mom and dad. And if you remember when we covered the Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars document, the very last section was all about how the draft was a classic example of the manipulation of archetypes to get boys to go and die and for dads to give their sons up and for moms to give their sons and daughters up to war as a sacrifice to the God state. And that then the state becomes the replacement mother and father figure, especially when you look at things like the welfare state. The document says that's the purpose of the welfare state is to ultimately erase the family. And if you're going to get rid of mom and dad, you just replace it with the state. Now, that doesn't mean there can't be programs that help people out or something like that. That could be done at a local level. That could be the churches that do that kind of a thing. But this is much more sophisticated than that. Okay? This is not a libertarian versus the state type of question. It's way more sophisticated than that, where it's about long-term social engineering to destroy the family, something H.G. Wells said 100 years ago would have to go. And that gets to number 10, which is the control of bloodlines and genetics such that certain people and their progeny are ended. And so the biometrics, the biosecurity state, I believe, in terms of the document human augmentation, right, in terms of what Klaus talks about with gene editing and CRISPR, that's to make sure that you can control and end not just this group or that group, but ultimately all the groups, so that there's only a very select few that go into the future. And that's what we see in the Georgia Guidestones, right? It says down to 500 million. And ultimately, that's probably too many, right? They're going to have to get it smaller than that. So controlling through biometrics and the biosecurity state, the human genome, is one of the top 10 commandments of the global elite. This is Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. You can go subscribe to me and get my books at my website. Thank you for watching.
It was von Bismarck, the unifier of the German Republic, that first said, "Politics is war by another means." He also said, "War is politics by another means." They're interchangeable. We are in a war. There is a global corporate takeover, the Great Reset, happening worldwide. And Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and the UN admit this is their takeover. They brag that they had this Davos school for 40 years that trained almost every one of these so-called leaders from Canada to New Zealand, from the UK to Germany, under Klaus Schwab and Henry Kissinger's control. And now they're launching their world government to collapse society to then carry out State Department Memorandum 200 for forced depopulation. And that's why InfoWars is under such incredible attack, because we actually identify who the globalists are and go after them. Donald Trump knows who they are. Senator Rand Paul knows who they are. Senator Josh Hawley knows who they are. Ted Cruz knows who they are. But they won't dare go after them because they know when you do that, the system destroys you. Well, you know what? I stepped up to the plate. And you stepped to the plate supporting InfoWars over the years. So we're here fighting and identifying them to make it safe for other men to finally take action and save our republic and save our world. At the same time, it's beyond critical to remember that without your financial support, InfoWars will be shut down. That's why I offer you a 360 win, where you keep us on air and you get great products at the same time. The only way you fail is not taking action. They have been sold out for months and months and months, two of our best sellers. They're in our top five, both of them. X2, Deep Earth Crystal Iodine, back in stock, 50% off for a limited time, and Winter Sun highest quality vitamin D3. Now back at stock 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. These are so good for your immune system, so good for your body, and they fund the InfoWar. Take advantage of the new sale at InfoWarsStore.com.